You're listening to Green Left Radio. It is 8:10 a.m. Just to let listeners know, we did skip the usual kind of program, usual thing that we usually have a program, which is the activist calendar. And just to give a reason why, well, the reason why is actually most protests and most events have been cancelled at this stage. And so there wasn't really anything to announce really in terms of the activist calendar. Anyway, on the line we have Sue Bolton, who is a Moreland City Councillor and member of Socialist Alliance. And we're having on the line, to talk a bit about some of the social aspects of the COVID-19 crisis. Good
morning,
Sue.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah. Sue, I'd like to, on our show already, we've sort of covered a bit of the political kind of aspects. And I guess, you know, you as Moreland Council has probably a bit more aware of some of the social kind of aspects and the social consequences of COVID-19. And I guess maybe to start it off a bit of discussion, I guess I want to kind of hear a bit of a kind of your perspective on these kind of around some of the commentary around panic buying. And I guess what the kind of COVID-19 kind of reflects about that. I mean, just as I was going to the show, I saw at least groups of elderly people lining up at Woolworths and Coles before they'll open. And yeah, I just want to hear, I guess, a bit your thoughts on that.
Well, I think the panic buying is a result of not just individuals, it's a result of the government. Because the government has basically indicated to people that you may have to go into isolation for 2 weeks or quarantine for 2 weeks or more, and therefore you need to stock up. But it provided no means of guaranteeing that there would be any fair and equitable distribution of goods. So, of course, people went and stocked up, which is essentially panic buying. And because there was no collective means of distributing goods in a fair way, of course people living in a capitalist system where there's no guarantee that anyone's going to look after you, people did react and have reacted in an individualistic way, because that's what capitalism does. It forces you to look after yourself. Because there's no guarantee of someone else looking after you. And I think in the case of the bushfires, it was sort of a different kind of crisis. And there were already some sorts of volunteer organisations set up or able to be set up quite quickly in bushfire-affected towns, but also, especially through the CFA, but also even groups set up to send aid to bushfire-affected regions. And that's not quite the situation in Australia with distribution of food and essential services. And even some of the pictures of people with, you know, lots of dunny rolls in their trolleys. I mean, the thing is, you don't really know, is that person got a big family or are they just someone who's sort of hoarding? I suspect that there's only a very tiny, tiny percentage of people who are greedy and buying up stock to sell at high prices on eBay, et cetera, and Gumtree, et cetera. I think, what we see is people being forced to look after themselves and their family because the government hasn't properly distributed things. And the supermarkets are not a good means of distributing things because these are essentially private businesses. So they've got no obligation to maybe save up some stock to distribute to people who, who are on low income. The reports I've heard of, keeping an hour free at the very early hours of the morning for elderly people and people with disabilities is that they're still arriving and the shelves are bare because the supermarkets haven't been able to keep up because they are set up on a just-in-time stock arrangement rather than having reserves of stock. I mean, in reality, I suspect really to have a fair and equitable arrangement in terms of distributing food and supplies, the government probably needs some form of fair rationing system to guarantee that especially people who are vulnerable or on, not just people who are on healthcare cards, people who are in minimum wage, casual workers, etc., can access the things that they need. So this is entirely a product of capitalism and capitalist governments that just leave people to fend for themselves.
Mm. Absolutely. Now, Sue, you're, as a councillor, you're sort of on the coalface of what's happening in the community. Can you tell us a little bit about one of the things that I am finding on social media and just talking to work colleagues and friends and family is that we have a situation where a lot of people are feeling quite anxious, quite scared. Perhaps some of this, you know, panic buying behaviour is a result of that as well. But there's a lot of people who are vulnerable in the community, and especially, you know, vulnerable with regards to mental health. Is there anything that the government or councils or we as a society should or could be or are doing in order to sort of boost morale and make sure that the mentally, you know, the people who don't have the greatest mental health at the moment and are being challenged and isolated, and what can we do to help them basically?
Well, firstly, I think the government needs to guarantee that anyone who's residing in Australia at the moment will have access to our welfare system.
Yes.
There are all sorts of people in the community who are going to suffer incredibly because they have no access to our welfare system. You know, some of those groups of people include who don't have full rights as citizens, include international students who are losing their jobs, but at the same time being demanded by the universities to pay their fees. They can't go back home because every country around the world has got sort of travel bans of some kind, so they can't go home, so they have to stay here. And they've been paying taxes to Australia, but they're losing their jobs. But they have no, because a lot of them work in hospitality or the areas that are going to suffer the hardest under this COVID-19, and they've got no access to welfare. There are also New Zealanders who arrived in Australia since the laws were changed. Can't remember when that was, maybe the 80s or early 90s, where they have no access to welfare rights. They've got on a special visa arrangement so that they can live and work in Australia, but they don't have access to welfare. Their kids don't have access to HECS, and they're not able to become permanent residents. Then you've got people on, you know, various temporary work visas, who also, you know, usually if they lose their job, they face deportation. And then you've got tourists and, you know, and asylum seekers who don't have full rights. So basically the protections of Medicare and welfare should be extended to every single person who's in Australia at the moment. And every country around the world should be doing that as well. We should not be paying forcing international students or people who don't have access to our system to pay for hospital care, pay upfront fees for hospital care and medical care. So I think we've got to shift society away from a profit-driven society to a care for our fellow humanity kind of society. I'm especially worried about people who are homeless during this period and people who could be yes. made homeless by ruthless landlords. And also the reports coming out of Wuhan in China are that domestic violence or violence against women tripled during the lockdown because women were forced to spend a lot of time with their abusers. They were locked in a small mm-hmm. space with their abusers. And I'm very worried about that aspect. in particular because we don't have enough housing. And I actually think this is the time when the government should requisition vacant dwellings and be going full steam to build new permanent dwellings, public housing dwellings, and as well as temporary accommodation for people who are homeless or need to flee abusive situations.
Yeah, on the question around rent protection and housing, interestingly enough, the UK has just announced sort of mortgage freezes or some kind of mortgage freeze, system for 3 months. But I guess the main issue with this essentially is, just reading between the lines, is essentially it gives equal weight to both landlords and renters. And so in some sense that basically they could put evictions on hold for 3 months, but then the landlord might be put in a position where once the crisis is over, renters will be stuck with lots of debt of all this kind of unpaid rent. So I think, it doesn't necessarily seem to be a step forward in that sense. And I guess what would your ideas be on, protecting the rights of tenants in this sort of period?
Well, I think there should be, they should introduce a law against evictions to prevent evictions altogether. I also think that you possibly need to differentiate between different types of landlords. This is just thinking off the top of my head, because I think there are, the landlords who own lots of properties, absentee landlords raking in the cash from all of their properties, etc. But there are some landlords who are workers, who've worked there all their lives. Maybe they have bought an investment property and maybe they've lost their jobs or, have got some illness or cancer or whatever that prevents them from working. So I sort of, I have a feeling you do need to sort of have some sort of means of sort of differentiating. But I, on the other hand, I do think people need to be protected. And I think there should be no evictions in this period. That should be a guarantee of no people being evicted in this period. No bank foreclosures on people who can't afford to pay their mortgage. No evictions for people who can't afford to pay their rent. And I think especially landlords who, especially landlords who have multiple properties and landlords who've got other means of income and the rent is just, pocket money and for spending money on top of their other incomes should be forced to just relinquish, forego any rent in this period for several months until we're on top, we've passed this virus. Because people, the handouts are primarily going to business. They're not going to workers and people who are unemployed and pensioners. Sure, tiny few little scraps are going towards people who are on pensions and benefits. But the most important thing the government is not doing is increasing Newstart back to the up to the poverty line. That will be a start, and Newstart is something like $150 or $180 below the poverty line. It is so low, but the government does not want to create a precedent of increasing this payment permanently ongoing. So that's why they're just doing a one-off $750 payment. They do not want to increase this permanently, and it needs to be increased permanently. And I think we've got to try and win back, use this period of this crisis, which shows up how rotten this capitalist system is, to win back our rights, to win back permanency of secure work. not this casualised hand-to-mouth existence that so many workers have, win back our rights to an adequate welfare system so that when we're forced out of work, we've got a system to rely on, which we've paid our taxes for. We need to win back our rights to permanent secure housing. And I think we need to really push this. And so while we've been pushed to campaigning in an online world, we can't give up actually campaigning. And we've got people like Alan Joyce who earns, you know, something millions of dollars every year. Why isn't he giving that money to the Qantas workers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you want to wrap it up?
Well, yeah. So is there anything that we're going to be wrapping up the interview now, but is there anything that we haven't gone over or anything sort of that you want to emphasise?
Well, I think those are probably the key things, and I'm especially concerned about people who are homeless in this situation, because a lot of homeless people, you know, whether people are moving from couch to couch in friends and families' houses and flats, or whether people are living rough on the streets, in their cars, wherever, or people who are in insecure housing and so forth, I think are the most at risk in this situation. So really wealthy people in a position to look after themselves, they will get special deliveries from food suppliers and all the rest of it. They will not be suffering. It is ordinary people who are suffering, and people who are poor can't afford to stock up because you get such little income to last you, well, it doesn't even last you the fortnight. So homeless people are the most vulnerable, people who are in insecure housing, most vulnerable, and we've got to use this period to really fight for a massive expansion in public housing, which they could do right now during the crisis.
All right. Thank you very much, Sue.